Hello, hello. Welcome back to another edition of Friday Night Live of That Mill Podcast. My name's Omar. Thanks for joining me. As always, my regular co-host first up, Mr. Mickey Simpson, ex-fan of the board. How you doing?
Evening. Yeah, no, good, mate. Good. Good evening, one and all.
Good evening to the chat, and also good evening to Mr. Neil Fizzler. Hello, Neil.
Hello. Hello, Omar.
How you doing?
Mickey.
You're all right?
Yeah.
Hello, fellow. You're all right.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Hope everyone's had a good week.
Yeah, evening to the chat as well. A couple in there already. Be sure to get your messages in. Hello to Barry, as always. Hope you're doing well, mate. Same to Josh. Evening, Keith. Very good Friday evening, chaps. We're on the cricket season. Well, yeah, it's been a lovely day today. I don't know how it's been for you down on the coast, Neil. Well, you're not really on the coast, but down the southwest. It's been a lovely spring day up here in London and southeast way. How about yourself?
As shitty as ever, mate. Yeah, well, all the bad weather, it's us first. And it's just been murky, gloomy, you know, just the usual day, really.
We'll keep our sun, hopefully, for the weekend because, you know, it's that Friday feeling today, I feel like. Evening to Joe as well. Joe Zampa, hope you're doing well, mate. I'm sure you'll get a couple comments in about Ryan Woods' assist the other night, and we'll be sure to jibe at Neil and Mickey for that. Evening to Matt, evening John, evening Alan, and evening to Darren Swan. So, yeah, I mean, today we're just going to cover, obviously, the last couple of games. We haven't actually done a show this week, so obviously we've saved up for Friday Night Live. We've got Saturday's game and, obviously, Wednesday night's defeat. Yeah, and we're also getting the drinking chat in quickly. So, you know, some revelations need to be made for myself. I'm on a Stella, a Nelson Mandela. There we go. Mickey's on the dart through. Neil, what you got to hand today?
If you'd told me that we were drinking alcohol, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be drinking that.
Well, if you was at the pre-show that we were doing, we mentioned it then. So
it was about 7:15. We went.
Are we going to drink alcohol tonight or not?
I'll blame Mickey entirely for it because Mickey was some of us
were looking at Millwall players from about 1897. I got a query, so we just got on with that.
But yeah, as Adam says, guys, what is everyone drinking tonight? I think there's a couple of shouts already in, but you know, what's everyone got to hand tonight? I had to have Stella. It's my first one, I think, of the year, and it tastes just as good as I remember it to be. So there you go.
Bullshit,
mate. Estella, come on, mate. Estella's all you know what? A classy drink, in my opinion.
I think he's saying that it's your first drink of the year. I think that's what he's saying.
Oh, it's my first Stella. It's my first Stella. So,
did you say that?
Ah, right. Yeah, but it's your first Stella, but it isn't your first drink.
Well, I don't know. We'll remain unknown.
Yeah, well, I tuck people up for a living. I know when they're avoiding the question, you're avoiding the question.
Yeah? Evening to Mickem as well. Hope you're doing well, mate. Ruby Hobgoblins for Alan Smith. Yeah, Joe's on the Camden Ale. You love the Camden Pale Ale, don't you, mate? I think you're normally on some sort of Camden drink over there. Peroni for John London. And a Foster's for Darren Swan. I mean, Foster's is normally the drink I have on a Saturday morning when I'm on the train with my McDonald's breakfast. Oh. You get four cans of Foster's because Foster's is... Excuse it, because you know you drink it, Darren. To me, it's a bit
easy to drink. It's a chav's drink.
It's not chav. It's a chav's drink. We won't go that far.
Chav's.
But
it's a chav's drink.
I could drink Foster's all day. That's all I can say. Mick, he's on mute, by the way, Mickey, because I see you talking. As always, you've got some point or another, you're on mute. But...
Neil, don't mute me again, fella.
Well, my hands are nowhere near the keyboard. My hands are actually to the side of me, yeah? I did not mute you that time.
We've got Felton's Pilsner for Mick M, and also we've got Sparkling Ribena for Barry, JD and Coke for Adam, and Lidl's Dark Fruit Cider from Richard Lacey. I mean, I don't knock it. I think Lidl's normally do a few alternatives. I mean,
yeah, but that's quite good, I reckon.
If you're drinking Sainsbury's Basic, then I might question it otherwise.
Hang on, one minute. Can we just go back to that one? Mick, do you do historic recreation? You know, what's the word I'm fucking looking for? Doing the old war zones, doing the old battles from history. Do you do that? Is that hence why your picture, Mick M? If you can just answer that, because I've seen them loads of times at Warwick Castle, people like that, and they just intrigue me. You know that they fucking do it, but yeah, I just. A random
reconstruction,
question.
I think is what you're looking for, Mickey.
Is it reconstruction? No, it's not. It's just another word. But yeah, no, it don't matter anyway. He knows what I mean, and he'll answer in the chat. So, yeah, and apologies to Darren. Neil was calling you a chav. Me and Omar weren't calling you a chav.
As I said, Foster's is not my normal tipple. However, a Foster's with a splash of lime on an away day, I could drink that all day. Like, it's a drink that I could just sit on and probably have 15 pints and still go out when I get back to London afterwards. So it seems to be that sort of drink I can just kind of, I have a tolerance to.
Reenactment. That's right.
That's the word.
Then I don't know. Well, reenactment is the right word. There you go. But yeah, let's steer back to the football. I mean, we'll come back to reenactment another time, I'm pretty sure. And I'm sure there'll be more comments about it made. But let's talk about some football, Neil. How's the last week been for you? I mean, we'll start with Derby County. A 1-0 win away from home. And a good away win, I suppose, on the face of it, wasn't it? Obviously, a clean sheet. A smash and grab, I feel like, personally. But what did you make of Saturday's game?
Thought they were poor, we were poor, and we got the 3 points, which at the end of the day, probably the most important thing, to be honest. It's a week ago, I can't really remember that much about the game. I can remember a very poor first half where I think we struggled to, well, we were quite difficult to break down, we were quite disciplined, and yeah, but it is what it is. It's a, yeah, but it was just 3 points really, wasn't it?
Well, a win's a win, I suppose. And, you know, the season we're having, I think it's probably the only bright sparks we can take is a win. I mean, Derby on midweek, Mickey, actually came back from 2-0 down against Brentford of all teams. Lee Gregory scoring straight off the bench at halftime. And I think someone else, Sibley, I'm going to say, a 2-2 draw. But, you know, I suppose if they drew against Derby, I mean, drew against Brentford, it's probably a good win on Saturday. I know, I agree with Neil, they're both two poor sides out there on Saturday. But end of the day, a win's a win, I suppose, right?
3 points are 3 points.
That's it. That's it.
You know, 3 points are 3 points. And yeah, nice. Gregory scored. But yeah, glad he didn't come back to us. But he's done his time. But yeah, you know, good luck to him. You know,
one for the stats purist and to crush the idea of XG and football in general. Derby had 70% of the ball on Saturday, 9 shots. And we had 2 with 30% of the ball. We won 1-0. So, you know, sometimes in football, it's not necessarily the stats that dictate the game. It's always who scores the crucial goal. So, yeah, I mean, reenactment's been the shout, obviously, from Matt here. I mean, Josh Baines on the Vodka and Iron Brew, he's then said it's a game changer. I mean, I've never tried it, so I'm intrigued to try Vodka and Iron Brew. So I have to give it a go.
I might try Iron Brew and Gin.
Iron Brew and Gin. Okay.
Gin is filthy. It is horrible.
It's lowering, drink. Lowering calories. So, I mean, you know, you can.
Lowering calories.
It was so much vodka. It was so much vodka.
But vodka, they sell
no,
in this.
It's not. It's a bird's vodka. Drink. It's a trendy
no, it's
bird's
not.
Drink.
No, yeah,
it's what birds drink vodka. Now because they want to be.
Vodka
trendy.
In this country. Vodka in this country is shite.
So
unless
gin,
you buy a Polish. No, gin's lovely. It comes from London. It's proper.
It's horrible. No, yeah, no, it's not. It's bloody. It's fucking produced on the Barbican down here, mate. And yeah, you don't want to get anything from the Barbican down here because you're quite likely to get the clap.
Well, we spoke about a good 90 minutes on Saturday. We'll talk about a good 45 minutes first. Away at QPR on Wednesday night. Mill 2-0 up after 45 minutes, and then surrendering a 3-2 lead. I mean, a 2-0 lead and losing 3-2 to the hosts. Jed Wallace scoring for Millwall and Mason Bennett. I mean, let's talk about the first half first, Mickey. I mean, that was good, wasn't it? Being up away from home and dominating the proceedings, really, by all counts. And also an assist for Ryan Woods. I mean, what's your
take? It was a great through ball. You know, it was a great through ball. And, yeah, well done. Well done, fella. You know, call it how it is. Great for that through ball. What else can I say about him on that game? It was a great through ball. So
it was a great finish
well
by
done.
Jed as great, well, wasn't it?
Great finish by Jed. Great finish. Same as Joe said. You know, Ryan Woods was a fucking absolutely best player in the park for about 12 and a half minutes. And then he was just the cunt that we know he is.
Yeah, well, it's classic Millwall, isn't it, Neil, I suppose? You know, we'd say the whole kind of thing of 2-0 up at half time. And I'm sure most of us had a little nagging thought in the back of our head thinking, this could go, you know, pear-shaped if QPR change it up. And fair play to them. Second half, they changed it up. It was at us by all accounts and, you know, basically won the game 3-2 and made it comfortable, didn't they?
That's a comment.
Well, all right, can I talk now, Mick? Actually, I didn't actually think it was that bad. I was actually entertained by watching the game. For the first time in a very long time, I don't give a toss now if we win, lose or draw. I just want to be entertained. Yeah, and I was entertained on Wednesday night. 2-0 up. Yeah, we should have saw the game out. But I think the difference was three crap pieces of defending from us. They had a finisher. Can you stop putting them up over my face? It's very off-putting. They had a finisher, we didn't. Yeah. They signed Charlie Austin, and we signed a sick note in January. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel if we had Austin, we'd have won that game 5 or 6-0 because they wouldn't have been anywhere near it. They were causing us problems with that long throw in the first half, the blonde-haired geezer. And we didn't suss it out. And in the end, we paid the penalty for not taking two or three chances that we should have taken at the start of the second half and in the first half, because we should have been out of sight before they scored a goal.
I know Bennett had a good chance in the first half, and obviously Hutchinson in the second half, of all people. Cooper wins the flick on, doesn't he, from a free kick from deep. Flicks it on, and it's to make it 3-0. And if anyone but Hutchinson or Pierce or any centre-half there, if it's Malone, a striker, you'd probably back him to hit the back of the net. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people agree with this. You know, I think a few things said in here. Typical QPR away game from Keith. Always something to talk about. Mick Ebbs talking about Woods here. Woods looks a lot more useful playing further forward. Joe saying the ball from Woods for Bennett's miss was incredible. It was a good ball, to be fair. I remember that chance, and obviously Bennett should have scored it. Thankfully, Bennett then made up for it about 30 seconds later, didn't he, with the little swivel hit in the box to get his body around it to make it 2-0.
That was a great finish. Yeah, they were both superb finishes. Woods' defence splitting pass for that first goal. He saw the pass and he made the pass. And Jed, it was an absolute lovely finish, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And then the second one, you thought the chance had gone, but he swiveled, put it in the corner. But we should actually have finished that game. If we had Charlie Austin instead of John Daddy Bavardson and Bradshaw that came off the bench, we'd have won that game.
But Neil, to challenge that a little bit, if you score two goals away from home, you'd normally think that's enough to win a game. I know what you're saying. I agree with your point. But the two that played up front, and we should highlight it because obviously, like you said, there were two great finishes. But if you score two away from home with a defence that's normally quite solid away from home, you'd like to think the game would have been done. So maybe we should be picking more on the defence. Because Pierce, for example, and I know I've talked about Pierce a lot.
Yeah, no, well, I did say that there were three pony pieces of defending, yeah? And Austin's first goal, where he got the flick header in, yeah? That was awful. Yeah, he shouldn't ever have got near the ball. And the rest of them, they were, well, one bounced around the 6-yard box, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And it was just pony defending. And we all know that Alex Pierce, well, he's just got no pace. He's got nothing about him. He's over the hill. Yeah.
I do feel sorry for Pierce because obviously, like, you know, we spoke about him for the last five or six weeks. What I will say is I felt he had a good game Saturday against Derby, and I felt personally in the first half as well, I thought he was playing all right, and then I thought this is good. And then the second half, just QPR just got after us, made it difficult for us. And as all the guys are saying here, like, you know, Matt MFC here, I'm still fuming about Wednesday. Absolute shit game management by Rowett. Pissed me off more than that he blamed the players. He could see it all coming. I'm not Rowett out, but he should hold his hands up. And you know what, I think this is the point I want to agree with Mickey in a sense, because it doesn't take a genius to work out, you know, QPR 2-0 down at home against Millwall, a team that, you know, typically don't score many goals. A bit embarrassing for the home side. And it's no surprise, second half, they came out the way they did and basically tried to force the occasion and, in all sense and purposes, got the better of us, didn't they? And just wanted it more second half, it's fair to say. You know, it's no surprise. And maybe Rowett could have made changes to combat this. I know you don't change when you 2-0 up, but, you know, the players shouldn't be then coming out second half and do the performance they did, should they?
Nope. They should have. The biggest problem, what it was, is that when they made the substitutions, we just looked in the book, looked in our little playbook, and all that was written there was that. Mm-hmm. And we had fuck all else. We had nothing else to do, and it was back to the Neil Harris football management skill of shit, what do I do? because they've changed it right on him. He had no plan B, and we didn't know what we were going to be doing. And the problem was, again, we made substitutions very late in the game when you're not going to be able to change. As soon as they brought in those substitutions just after the second half start, we should have then loaded ours up and gone, right, let's go in and start putting them. Because in the first half, we had loads of room in midfield. And then come the second half, once they made those changes, the door got closed and we were fucked.
I think they just, you know, spotted it. They tried to match up at the back. They played a 5-2-3, 5-3-2 similar formation to us and basically got the better of us. Quick one, just for side note. Gavin, you always mention your beers and what you're drinking, mate. I'm on the Stella. Mickey's on the cider today. So, hey, you know, we're all drawn towards the beer, I think, after Wednesday night, to be honest. But quick one here and a one for the chat, to be honest, to discuss. And everyone give their opinion on this. And I will come to the boys in a bit about this. If we had a striker, any striker. But I'd argue the two chances that Bennett and Wallace both took were good striking finishes, and the partnership between the two of them looked really impressive on Wednesday night. At least I thought that. And I'm not suggesting it's a long-term fix, but I don't think if we had a striker in there on Wednesday night, would have... I agree with the point Neil said there, where we had the chance and should convert them. But I think to score two goals away from home, we should be seeing that game out, in my opinion. And I think that's not necessarily the striker's fault that we then didn't go and win that game, I think, on Wednesday night. So that's something maybe to discuss. And obviously get your comments below about that one. Because also, this to score 15, 20 goals striker, or to find that striker, I think Rowett said during the week in an interview with News at Dem. But I think it's too simplistic to say we need a goal-scoring striker. I think we also need to sort the way we play, personally. But that's just me, my thoughts anyway. Darren saying Woods lost the ball for their second goal, trying to turn on the halfway line. I think it was more of a hospital pass from Alex Pearce. I thought it was a hospital pass from Alex Pearce, personally. Maybe that's just me sticking for Woods up a little bit there, but I think it was a hospital ball from Pearce.
Yeah, but I think it was
Pearce.
Six or one half dozen of another. Yeah, but I think it was a hospital ball, but then Woods lost the ball. So if Woods hadn't lost the ball, Pierce's shit pass wouldn't have made any difference, would it? I think it was just a calamity of fucking errors, really, wasn't it? And summed up our evening.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with what Mickey's saying. There's no plan B, so to speak. Richard here saying, what's plan A? Good question. I mean, do we think the team we've got now and the way we're playing, is that... I feel like Rowett has settled on that and he's deciding this is what he wants going forward. So with that in mind, guys, are we going to have the same formation next season, do you think, especially with Crowes being back? Do you think we'll get away with playing this way? I mean, Neil, maybe it's one for you, but do you think... I personally don't think we'd get away with playing the way we're playing if we had a Denham to go to on Saturday. That's my opinion.
I don't think he gives a fuck if there's fans in there or not. I think that this will be his... yeah, no, he won't. Trust me. He's got his formation, he's got his plans, he's got his thoughts, and he'll stick to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can boo, we can howl. What I think you'll find is that he will stick with his formation, but he'll probably bring in the players that he wants to play there. I read a thing last week on the South London Press that he's already talking about strikers for next season, but interestingly, he was talking up the new chief scout's contacts abroad. So it looks as if he's going to go down the foreign route to look for a striker, which is an interesting one.
Well, it's about fucking time, because we haven't scouted in Europe for fucking years, if ever, probably from...
Yeah, well, Adolf Hitler was knocking around Europe the last time we scouted there, let's face it.
No, we've had plenty since then, but I mean, we probably haven't really scouted in Europe since probably the mid-90s or so, and I think the only reason that we get some of the ones from Australia... Neil, my lip moving means I'm talking.
Now is you've actually got an agent. An agent won't put European players... to Millwall. An agent has actually told me that they will not put European players forward to Millwall. So we could scout them.
So there's no point scouting in. Pick up the phone, get on the call to Steve Cav and tell him, don't waste any of the club money, mate. The agents aren't going to give you players. So that's it. I've got his number. I'll text it to you in a bit if you want.
Yeah, go on.
No point spending money, is it? We're going to get the players. We're going to get players. So just one agent, whatever, there is still going. I know of an agent who goes there scouting, and he knows of lower, the B teams, the C teams of Real Madrid and all the other teams, you know, like not necessarily Real Madrid, but those sort of teams, where those youngsters need to get proper football and they think the championship is a good way for them to bed in. So I think if we've got scouts out there and we're looking at it, I think we're probably fine players. Because don't forget, Europe has the B teams and the C teams, don't they? Unlike what we have.
Yeah, well, we've just got under 23 squads, which is our equivalent, isn't it? But we ain't going to go signing people from Real Madrid, so let's get real about it.
How do you know? You don't know if we're going to get a B or a C. We could get a B, a C, or a D team player, an up and coming youngster who needs a bit of bedding. We could get him. I'm not saying we're going to go sign a fucking A team player, am I? But where else are we going to do? We're going to sit there and do it. The Championship, League One, League Two, I think, with the way they've done everything with wages, everything else, is going to be fucking hard to sit there and do. And I think realistically, you're going to have to look abroad. We're not looking in Ireland like we used to. We're not looking in Scotland as much as we were. So we've got to look at the Germans, Spain, Italy, and see where we go from there. That's where I think if we're going to get anyone, we'll get a nice youngster or something who can suddenly come in and, you know, nice loan or a cheap deal and hopefully be able to give us the 15, 20 goals we want.
I'm of the opinion, as I've been for a long while. If you want to talk over me too, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, Gavin Smith's point here. I think it's something to do with the fact that we traditionally don't sign foreign players, and certainly from a couple of agents I've spoken to when I was doing the football, when I was doing football transfer stuff, I think our reputation goes a little bit before us.
But that's only
what I've been told by a couple of agents that I've dealt with.
I don't believe that's personally to be a thing. I can see it. I understand the point. But I think if Mill was interested in signing a player and we put the money there, surely the deal will be done and hopefully a player will be interested. I don't think, you know, I think players dream at the chance of coming to the Premier League. And if they can't come to the Premier League, the Championship's normally a good showcase for it. You look at the likes of Buendia and elsewhere, you know, in Norwich, all their assets are so sought after because, you know, Championship, they look at it as a kind of a step up to the Premier League almost. It's like a second Premier League. So I agree. I get your point. But I think it's more so, I think, if Mill want the players, go and get them. I think the guys are saying, obviously, it's a lot cheaper to go abroad. You never quite know. I think, personally, a lot of it is also to do with the way we set up as a team. I think you got the likes of Conor Mahoney to come back, who's in training again, which is going to be interesting to see what happens. But I think the way we set up as a team is not set to play attacking football. And even if we had, you know, foreign players in this team, I don't think they'd look as good as, you know, everyone's thinking they will, because we don't play that certain style of play. We don't play to dominate games. We play to sit on the counter-attack. So I don't know. Maybe that's one to spoke about another day. But yeah, I mean, Mickey, we've got a game coming up this week. We've got...
Just before we do that... There was something. Go on. It was there, and now it's moved fucking miles forward. So yeah, go.
We got some feedback, didn't we? That's what I was going to talk about. Actually, we got some feedback, didn't we, from someone that left a review on Facebook, was it, or someone that got in touch on Facebook the other day, and they made some points to us, Mickey. I think about the club and how the what was one of the comments? You've got also the feed, haven't you? You've got the survey the club put out, which you was going to talk about. You've got them all loaded up on here, no?
Yeah. I've got them on there. I can't think where that one was on Facebook, though. I've sent it to you, didn't I? I think.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Anyway, but what do you want to talk about the survey the club sent out? Because you obviously had some views about that you wanted to express today.
Well, my point is, I mean, look, it's there, right? We're just bunging it up. The questions on this survey just seem really, really loaded to not actually. It seems to me as if they're driving commercial value. Let's go that way. There we go. They're driving commercial value by asking you which way you communicate with the club through social media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It don't work anyway. Where everything's there, then the last two questions is about the SEO, and then you don't actually see anything from the SEO. You know, you obviously she does a great job, but there's nothing there towards the MSC or fan groups or anything else. I just wonder if the club's route is looking at doing, you know, the SEO is the one what leads everything, or is it going to be, you know, the fan groups are going to be pushed back into the foresight? That's the question. What, you know, out of that survey, I want to know, because obviously reading that survey, it's more social. You know, do you think the club cares about you? You know, and which way do you communicate with the club and all that? I mean, to be fair, we spoke about this. I don't really look at the website.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one for the chat as well. I mean, how do you consume your Mill media? Because obviously they've put a little survey out, which I think they've emailed to anyone on their mailing list and probably season ticket holders and members as such. But, you know, I think it has changed a lot, and obviously that's what I want to gauge that view, I guess. But it is interesting you pick up, Mickey, you know, what you take from that is obviously maybe they might do away with maybe the power the MSC has, maybe. Maybe it'll be a change of all going through the SLO, which is what you obviously shown, isn't it, from the club. But, it could be interesting. I don't know what they're going to maybe change the way they do things or...
Possibly. I mean, I think, you know, you should have... I don't think you should have loads and loads of fan groups, you know, but I think, you know, if you want whatever fan group you want, what represents you, then if that means you need 10, 12, because some of the premierships and other clubs have, you know, a few different groups what represent the majority of the fan. As long as they've got communication with the senior table at the club, then that's great. But, it just seems to me as if they're more interested in building better options between certain, you know, social media accounts and actually putting information out. And, you know, some of the stuff that's come out recent from the club with pictures have all been quite Cheltony, haven't they? They've been, you know, some of the pictures and stuff have been very, very, you know, the only full horses one.
It's been a meme, as they say in the current world. Yeah. Being a meme.
That's the way that it's going, though, isn't it? Yeah, but that is
it's
the way
all
that
about
it's going. Yeah, well, just to answer somebody, I just actually went offline because I went into the kitchen to get a cider and I didn't want, my kitchen's directly behind me.
Where was we? Go on, Mickey. What was you saying? Sorry, you say something.
I just think that, yeah, the world's gone forward. It's all about likes. It's all about social media, because that's what sells advertising. You know, you can go to an advertiser and go, look, you know, we get 8 million, you know, exposures a month on our Twitter account. We get this on Facebook and all that. When, you know, that's great, but most fans couldn't give a fuck about that. It's about, you know, being in communication, because realistically, let's be honest, we find out more information through South London Press and News at Den and more honest feedback than what we ever do from the official club. I mean, you look at even go as far as the podcast. So the people who do the podcast at the club are fine. I mean, Paul Jiggins, lovely bloke and all that, great fella. But you look at our interview with Paul Robinson and look at their interview with Paul Robinson, we get more stories on our one than what they've got in there. So it's very, very everything seems to be commercially focused, which is great. But I think the fans nowadays, where the way social media, the platforms, everything are, I think they just need to be a bit more, rather than letting, you know, John Kelly, Southwark News, etc., you know, Richard Crowley, all of that, just leaking more of the stuff than what the club does, which...
I don't think they leak a lot as it is. I think at one point before, you'd always remember...
Go to Aldo.
Yeah. And this is before Aldo worked for the club. You know, when Aldo ran News at Den used to be the hot place to get any leaks, any information. And before that, it was... at according to Aldo. And I always remember going to Twitter, going to search, at according to Aldo. Now at times, it's all really hush-hush from the club, which I understand is for their benefit. But I do think that the media as well, and maybe, you know, obviously, Neil, you work in media, but, you know, I think the club are very self-aware of their image. And as a result of that, I mean, everyone's aware of their image, don't get me wrong, but I think Millwall in particular, how it's run nowadays, they're very aware of the press they get. And as such, it does damage, like, you know, what as fans we get from the club, I personally think.
They're going to control what they put out there, yeah. Mm-hmm. And to my mind, the local media, they're useless because they don't want to jeopardize getting into games, or they want their interviews on a Tuesday. They don't dig anymore, yeah. Yeah, but let's face it, who is the Millwall correspondent at the South London Press? Yeah, well, I couldn't tell you, because they actually either have Lucas Ball doing a game, Jake Sanders, is it? He'll do
a
game.
Richard Cowley, who oversees them all, doesn't he? Richard Cowley, he's on top of them, I think.
Yeah, but he's a sports editor, but he does more Charlton than he does Millwall. You think back, Rob Bowden did Millwall for many years, and I knew Rob. Kevin Brennan, you knew who covered. Toby Porter covered them for years, yeah?
Yeah, Toby Porter's now in charge, isn't he, at South London. He's now the overall editor there.
Is he? Oh, right, okay. But they're not... You used to have journalists the South London Press would employ somebody to cover Millwall, like Toby, somebody else to cover Charlton, somebody else to do other clubs. But now they get these students to do it. And let's face it, they're okay for whacking out a few tweets and retweeting. But do they have the contacts to actually go out there and to dig out stories? Aldo, when he started News at Den, he was, what, 16, 17, 18?
And 16, I think.
Yeah, and he does what I do in rugby. I just make a nuisance of myself. Yeah? And you eventually get to know people. And that's gone out of journalism, and especially local journalism. Yeah? Now they only get spoon-fed stories by Gary Rowett or Billy Taylor and whatever else. They don't phone up an agent like, yeah, but take that Alan Campbell. I'd have been on the phone to his agent. I'd have been his, yeah, but I'd have been his fucking best mate for bloody 3 weeks. I'd have been whacking in WhatsApps, phone calls and all sorts, yeah? But you also don't get close enough to the backroom staff that would also give you a story, or the woman in the ticket office that you'd get to know on a personable basis, or even somebody like Lurch. Somebody like Lurch, yeah, who's in and around the club all the time. You want to make your best mate because he'll see what's going on. But with these people, they don't have those kind of... Yeah, but that's why. Yeah, they don't let you within a mile of it. There is absolutely no way that Millwall would let me within a mile of the training ground, because they'd be too scared at what I'd come up with. Yeah.
For the record, like, I don't think the club would do a bad job for the press they give us, but I think it is a very PG, self-aware sort of... Yeah.
It's bland, it's sent... Yeah, I was going to say censored, but I actually mean sanitized.
Wednesday night. Sorry, Neil, just because I want to get to the chat, really, if anything. Even Wednesday night, the club, you know, Millwall lose 3-2. And the access that, you know, Gary Rowett doesn't get prodded enough for me.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, I'm not suggesting that his own media team should prod him. But even if it's the journalists that get access to him afterwards in the press conference, there's never like any cutting edge questions. It's always like, let's not piss the manager off.
And they don't know how to ask a question. Whereas I would have, my first question would have been, well, that second half was a bit shit, Gary, wasn't it? What went wrong?
Yeah.
But you find that people like Gary Rowett, yeah? He's a slick media operator, and he just speaks 110 languages of bullshit, really, doesn't he? But they're all like it. You speak to a manager or a coach in any sport, 9 times out of 10, they're fucking linguists in bullshit. They really are, yeah? They've got 110 ways of telling you the same thing, but it's all bollocks, yeah?
Sorry, Mickey, come on, what's this about?
Adam's asking us sometimes. There's a Lucas Ball that's a director on the game. So do you know a Lucas Ball that's the director at the club, seeing as you used to sit on the board?
No, there's no Lucas. And listen, no. If this is true, I'm going to start a fucking campaign. No, listen, jokes aside, yeah?
Yeah, but you should know. Adam knows it as well.
Hang on. I was on Championship Manager. I was listed as a director of Championship Manager. And I took that as a big coup. Right. And it was great. The problem you got is that is Lucas Bell a Championship researcher for Millwall possibly? And he's managed to get, I don't know. But I tell you now, if that's true, then I think there's a campaign coming to fucking get him off Championship Manager with the next update, because that's a fucking liberty.
It's definitely on there. Football Manager, it's definitely on there, because Adam's also a pal of mine, and he actually mentioned it before. So and I've checked, and he has Lucas Ball listed as a director. So I mean, we'll have to find that out one day.
But, yeah, but that which has is actually in- made my interesting, night. That has.
Interesting comments here from the guys here in the chat about obviously the thoughts on the post-match interviews and all the side, you know, Barry saying that's why he talks the same shit week in, week out. Everything comes out of the club is neutralized, says Nick Allen. They tell us what they want us to hear. Jim McCrack, which is what I think personally, and this is what I said to you guys about the formation and how we're playing, why don't we get prodded when the crowds come back? I know personally from my own social media, from what I see from friends that I go to games with and friends that I know of that I've got on media, a lot of people don't enjoy the style of play we have at Millwall and the style of play that Rowett's persisting with. Don't get me wrong, we're 10th place in the league. So who's going to argue, you know, he turns around to you and goes, we're 10th place in the league. And Neil, we've discussed this, and this is probably a lot of reasons why we don't do as many shows as we do. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, well, I'm 100% with you where you're going here. Yeah, that is why I wasn't too upset on Wednesday night, because I was actually entertained. Yeah, it was actually a good game of football. I've actually, but if we'd lost 3-0 and not tried, I'd have been fucking suicidal. Well, yeah, we're not quite suicidal, but you know what I mean. Yeah, but because it was an entertaining game, you kind of think, oh, well, we lost 3-2. Yeah, well, we're not going up. We're not going down. So it's one of those things. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I was going to ask you exactly that anyway. You answered it for me, but obviously I was going to say, like, you know, why you found it enjoying, and then obviously you mentioned it there. But, yeah, some more comments. Post-match interviews should be asked, the questions the fans are asking. All the right stuff seems like it's all pre-planned question-wise, if you ask me. And this is what my point is, really. And don't this ain't me, like, disrespecting the club media team, because, by the way, I love War Talk, the podcast I done with Muscat the other day, and, you know, they obviously went for some clickbait questions in there preempted in the first place. But I think Max does a good podcast there with Mark Litchfield, and obviously Paul Jiggins is obviously the journalist they get on as well, which, you know, and if anything, more people doing podcasting in our world is a good thing for us, I think. So, but I do think, like,
can I enlighten slightly what'll happen is at the end of the game, Billy Taylor will go to Gary Rowett and he'll say, right, and these are the questions that were expected to be asked about this game. Yeah, so it's his job as the Joseph Goebbels of Millwall to actually put that thought into Rowett's head, so Rowett has prepared his answers. That's why, as a journalist, you want to think outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's why it actually sounds pre-planned, question-wise, Matt. It's because the press officer will say, expect these questions in the press conference, and then we'll ask you about this, this, and this. And it is soft soap. It's bloody, but the questioning on the club media channels is softer than the journalism in a flight magazine, really. Mm. Yeah, in one of those in-flight magazines. It's, but it's just the way it is. But they will actually go to the manager at the end of the game and they'll say, you can expect these questions. These are the questions that you're going to get. So Rowett's already planning his answers, and he might say to the press officer or whoever's briefing him, what do you think I should say? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why it all sounds the same, because they know what's coming their way. And they've got up to an hour. It used to be up to an hour to appear. Glenn Hoddle, I used to cover Wolves for the Sunday Express many years ago. And Glenn Hoddle would pop up literally after 55 minutes. So you're waiting 55 minutes because he could get his head around it. Yeah. Harry Redknapp used to come up after about an hour and 20 minutes after him and Jim Smith had watched Racing and right. Things like that. But it, that's why it all sounds the same.
Gotcha. Danny Shroud, it's all well and good to say we are 10th, which is obviously what I was saying about, obviously, the style of play, and we're still 10th in the Championship. It's the worst it's been for years. Barnsley are challenging for the playoffs, for fuck's sake. This was a massive treat miss, and that lays with the manager, in my opinion. Mickey, thoughts?
I think it has to lay with the manager. It was... First half, it was basically like, we were Barcelona the first half and then turned into being Accrington Stanley in the fucking second half. It was, he just didn't read the game. And once they changed that game, he just left it. And all these bollocks of, let's put substitutes on at 78 minutes, 83 minutes. What's the fucking point in that? They're not going to change the game. What was the subs on for QPR? 50 something?
He made.
Yeah, they're pre-planned substitutions, don't they?
He made three subs in the 77th minute. He brought on Sean Williams, Billy Mitchell, and Bodfarson in place of Thompson, Woods, and Bennett. This is at the stage when it was 2-2 in the game.
That's fucking too late, really, because QPR, you could see. I mean, I text you when it fucking was 2-0, and I went, what's 2-0 become 3-2? And fuck me, what happened? It become 3-2. We all know it was going to happen. Is Gary the only person in the face of this earth what did not see that coming? Because if he didn't, then we got bigger fucking problems.
I think, as we said, you know, it's a shame that we didn't deal with the game as we should have done. And obviously, 2-0 to 3-2 is classic Millwall, but at the same time, it shouldn't have happened, even though it's happened in the past. But it's Millwall, Mickey, mate. It's how we are. It's unfortunately the way it is. Let's talk about tomorrow's game. And obviously, we play Middlesbrough at home. Neil, I know we love stats, mate, but I've got a corker for you that I tweeted out earlier. I don't know if you saw it, mate, but in the 27 games so far, but in the manager career of Neil Warnock, he's never registered a league double over Millwall in his career. This is his 28th league match against the Lions. What's your thoughts going into tomorrow's game? And also, you know, fair stat from me there, by the way.
Good stat, mate.
Yeah, do you want a pat on the back for it?
I think it's an incredible stat. He's never done a league double over Millwall. How many times has he played Millwall? 27 times. So, you know, we're going to win tomorrow. Well, we're not going to lose, are we, right?
Well, yeah, we don't know what the hangover is after Wednesday night, really. Don't really. Where are they? They're just above us in the table, aren't they? Or just below us?
Yeah, in eighth place, 7 points in front of us.
Yeah, okay. Well, I knew that we'd have... Yeah, they were in and around where we were. They're flatter to deceive, really, don't they? With supposedly a big club or a big club in their own minds. Spend a lot of money on players. He is a good manager, whatever you think of him. Yeah, it's just a shame we're not there because it always gets a bit lively when old Collins in town, doesn't it? You think back to the Sheffield United game. That we were talking about with Mark Phillips, and I think they probably touched upon it in the Kevin Muscat interview. But they're going to be tough to beat, and I don't think we're going to win 3-0, that's for sure. But I'd settle for a draw now, I think.
Okay. A boring draw or entertaining draw? 5-5.
Oh, mate, I just want an entertaining draw, to be honest. Yeah, I just want an entertaining draw because, we're not going up, as I said. We're not going down. So let's just play. Yeah, but let's just have entertaining games. As long as you're entertained, I don't really. but it's just one of those things. But I'm not going to get upset at bloody defeats as long as I'm entertained. But if we are, but if it's a shit game and we lose 2 or 3-0, then, well. Then it's all back on the row it out thing, isn't it?
Well, we've got some early predictions coming in. Obviously, we always like your predictions, so be sure to get them in. Gavin with a 1-1. Keith thinks we will nick it 3-0 tomorrow. I love Keith's predictions. Keith's always the positive. I mean, I'm positive, but that's deliriously positive for me. I mean, but, you know, just thought I'd say that one. 0-0 from Alan. More fun going shopping with the missus. Obviously, we can't go shopping at the minute anyway, mate. So you have to sit on iFollow and listen to Carl Bates and Max talk about the game. So, yeah, go on.
Yeah, no,
jump
we probably
on that
could
instead.
Go shopping. Yeah, we probably could go shopping. You can still go to Tesco's and things like that, can't you?
You can go into a food shop, stand in the freezer aisle or something, yeah, and just have some fun in there, I suppose. 2-0, or 0-2 from Barry here. Barry's not confident. Warnock wanted the job when it gave it to Hollowank, according to Richard Lacey. And that was his word there, Hollowank, just for the benefit of the audio listeners. But I think I do agree with this, and I've always thought this about Neil Warnock. This is just my personal opinion. He's always a manager that I'd love to have had at the Den. I don't know about you boys, but I know he's obviously had the history of the club, obviously the whole Warnock documentary with Kevin Muscat, that scene, that whole scenario. But I've always looked at Neil Warnock as someone that comes to the Den and goes, you know what, like, give me your best shot. And I think at the same time, he would have loved to be sitting at home dugout at Millwall at one point or another just to manage Millwall. I think Millwall is almost the perfect club for Neil Warnock. Don't know what you boys think.
Yeah, can you actually imagine Warnock kicking off and us going mental in the stands? It would be actually a marriage made in hell for the Football League, wouldn't it?
I think it would be just
superb. Sorry, Mickey, I thought you were... Yeah, oh, mate, it would be. Yeah, but the other manager I'd love to see down there is Jose Mourinho. I don't want to watch his football, but what I would love to see him do is to kick off at a referee or kick off at a linesman, and there's 4,000 Millwall behind him in the stand. It'd be fucking brilliant. It'd be absolutely.
Could you imagine
mental.
Jose Mourinho being the Millwall dugout? Could you? Honestly,
it would be mental.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, but it isn't going to happen. But can you imagine him whipping the crowd up by going mad and all of this gesticulations that he makes? It would be fucking superb.
You know, he was prominent, obviously, his ex-Palace manager, ex-QPR. It doesn't bother me one second at all. Ex-Leeds as well. He's been around the block everywhere. But I think he would be, you know, a lot of people agree with me here. And I do think... He's all even now, even at this second, he's at Middlesbrough now and he's happy there. I know, but if he was to leave at the end of the season and be 75 years old, I don't know how old he is at the moment, but I'd still have him in the dugout at Millwall. You know, I'd still have him. That's it. Like, I honestly think, like, and it's he gets results. That's one thing, obviously, but I just think he's always been that manager. You know, you compare him, he's in the same bracket as the Allardyces, the Pulises, and all that sort of stuff. The players, the managers that always get a shout for a job, but. He is that kind of character where you look at him and go, yeah, Millwall's perfect for him. But, you know, that's hearsay Neil there. More about the game tomorrow, lads. Conor Mahoney's back in training. So we might see him on the bench tomorrow, maybe.
Yay!
You know, he's going to come back in and revive our season. We're going to go on a run of nine games, won the bounce and win the league. So.
Mate, I'd be very surprised if we see him. Yeah, but how long has he been out for? 4 or 5 months?
Crazy,
yeah, but he came back once, played a reserve game and got a strain, didn't he? Or did he play two reserve games and get a strain? I don't think we're going to see him until after the international break myself.
He actually lives
in Tavistock, which is actually a lot closer to my sister than it is to me.
Yeah, I think he always takes his team down that way, doesn't he? I think in that Warnock documentary, I'm pretty sure he takes Sheffield Wednesday to a pre-season of Southwest.
Yeah, Sheffield United. Yeah, no, he always does. Cardiff were down here. Sheffield Wednesday were down here. Sheffield United were down here. Middlesbrough, I think, have been down here. Well, he always brings it down.
He lives in the union, he'll attempt to quit Borough and come to us, but a lot of people saying 100% agree. I'd have Wise back. I was going to come to that in a second. Darren Swan. But Alan agrees. Warnock is a hard bastard, gets results and speaks his mind. Respect. When I've got the image of Ian Holloway when he came back as QPR manager and the Mill fans are terrorising the bus and he's giving it, but he doesn't own it the way he's giving it. I've got Neil Warnock in my head when he came to Mill as Leeds manager and he's going like this. Give it. And he loves it and he's owning the fuck out of it as well. And like... He won that little spat. Do you know what I mean? Like, I look at Warnock and think he's just carbon made for Millwall. He is literally like the identity you want and the head that's been in the championship for so many years now. You know,
you just talked about the time when Holloway come back. If you watch the YouTube clip on what's on YouTube of when he comes in, right? He comes in on the coach comes around the wrong way, right? I was standing right next to, if you look at the player's entrance, I was standing right there inside the little fenced off cordon, right? And I'm standing there, right? Just watching him, making sure that, you know, we behave, because we knew that he was going to come in and cause grief, say the fans did this, all that. So I was standing there making sure, I was watching it all to make sure to say, well, no, the fans will think you. And he come in and he starts fucking goading the fans as he come around. Anyway, as he gets to the front, you could see the little bit of fear starts to take over. Anyway. He gets off the fucking coach, goes to walk, and some cunt's fucking lobbed a Bulmers bottle, a big fuck off cider bottle, yeah, from the crowd across the fucking at him, and it's missed him. And I caught it at last minute. And you watch that video, I'm standing with a green jacket, a big green, like just a dark green, normal casual jacket, right? And you'll see Stewart's right coat. At the last minute. No, it's not a steward's coat, you cunt. It's a fucking, it's like a mod jacket sort of green, yeah? And you'll see me at the last minute fucking twitch as I move where this fucking bottle just skims the side of my head, mate. Fuck knows who threw it, but it fucking missed Holloway and fucking nearly took me out. But yeah, no, that was a...
Yeah,
that was
I remember that, thing. Actually. Yeah,
how
I
about
do
this
remember
one?
That. He missed the Football the League talk. Show. Yeah, but the Football League show made quite a lot out of that, didn't they?
He got bollocked for that. He missed a team talk at the beginning of the game, and he missed the first part of the game because their QPR director absolutely ripped him apart. Ripped him apart because he got there and he went to his players. He went to, this is what I was told, right? That he went to his players, went, don't worry. He said, I was here for long enough. They fucking hate me. They're focused all their anger on me, and you boys would be all right. And what he didn't realise was that actually it was probably the best fucking chant I've ever heard, where literally it was just cunt, 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 cunt. And he fucking absolutely got annihilated. And he walked off there and he was cocky at the front of the bus where he's clapping his ear and doing all that. And then once he got off, he fucking lost his nerves. He had to walk probably about 12 foot from the coach to the door. The old Bill were panicking like fuck. And to be fair, I think the Millwall fans were quite tempered, really. They didn't do what I thought they were going to do. I thought someone was going to
throw one ball at the cunt, didn't we, instead of fucking...
They didn't even throw it in, they threw it at me. They didn't even throw it in, they threw it at me.
You
blame them?
What, me, you can't? Fuck off.
Yeah.
Ole, 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 ole. You can't. You can't. Ole, 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 ole. You can't. You can't. I remember that. That's a Millwall chant. There is one.
Fuck.
How about this one, by the way? Warnock with his with Muscat as his assistant. I think Muscat being back in the country is interesting one. I know he's been a coach in the Aussies. I know he mentioned it in that Wall Talk show as well. But I think he's filming. But you don't just come over here to film. I think there's more to it. Muscat being in the country.
I know this because of Joe Dolan told me he was actually managing in Belgium, got sacked. And the pandemic hit, and apparently he thinks there's more chance of him getting a job in Europe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All of his wife's family are living in London or Crawley or somewhere like that. So it's easier to base himself over here than it is to have to quarantine in Australia.
I've got a big expectancy that he gets a job in a League One or League Two, I've got a feeling he'll get a job somewhere in England.
Just say one thing, Barry. Unfortunately, mate, Holloway will never get on this show. He's a prick.
Holloway or does he mean?
I think he meant Holloway. I think we were talking about Holloway at the time.
I think he means Holloway, and unfortunately, Barry, Holloway won't come on this show. But there is another. YouTube show what was threatened to get him on until he got cunted, but he's more likely to go on that show than he would on this show. Absolutely, I wouldn't want him on here. I've got no interest in him.
There's absolutely
I'd have more interest getting Lomas on than fucking Holloway, and that says something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I can get Lomas. Yeah, but to be honest, I've got no interest in speaking the hollow words. I didn't want him at the club. I think he's a cunt, and basically, he's just bad news.
Oh, there you go. Look,
there you go. Yeah, he did say that. But yeah, so tomorrow, what's your predictions, lads? I think we had some in the comments. Mickey, what's your prediction? I think Neil kind of said a draw. What are you expecting tomorrow, mate?
2-1.
2-1 Millwall, yeah? Who's getting involved?
Cooper and Budvardsson.
I was going to say Bavardson until he said, listen,
if any Millwall players are listening to this, and I know that some of you listen, you're probably listening on a podcast, do us a favour, just get Bavardson to write Neil on his undershirt, or I love Neil on his undershirt, and when he scores, just lift the shirt up, because that would give us untold amount of banter for the next fucking 3 years. But that would be great. You know, can you imagine him score, turn to the camera and go like that? Fucking, that would be
Well, I can have a word with the father of somebody who actually lives quite near me.
But Farson to score any time is 3-1 tomorrow if you fancy a little...
What I'm actually hoping for is that the Vardsson goes to a red list country on international duty next week. And then has to self-isolate for 2 weeks.
He doesn't have to self-isolate, does he? He's an elite sports person. Is he
fuck elite? Yeah, but he's about as elite as I am.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to isolate, does he? Because they're elite sports people.
Correct. They're out in the workplace and
home.
That's not quite right, is it? Because with Dylan White... had to do 2 weeks in a hotel. They've changed the rules. Dillian White, the boxer, that's why they've moved the fight to Gibraltar.
What did you just call him?
Week.
Did you Dillian just call White. Him Dillian? Is his name Dillian?
Yeah, Dillian White. Yeah, oh. Dillian White.
Yeah.
Dillian follows White. Me on Twitter, mate. I know him quite well, so I think, have met him a few times. I know what they call him.
I know there was a lot of stir about United and all their staff because when they went, they were still allowed to come back to training and stuff like that. So I know it's, I don't know if the rules have changed since, but I do know it's like you're allowed to go to football.
Yeah, but Dillian White had to actually do 2 weeks in a hotel and they wouldn't let him do 2 weeks in the Matchroom bubble hotel at Wembley. It had to be, yeah, it had to be 2 weeks in a Heathrow hotel with no training facilities. That's why they moved him. Yeah, but Jude Bellingham's the same. So we can only hope. And I think that hasn't Marlon been called up by Antigua and Bermuda or somebody?
The club didn't announce it. The club shared that Shane Ferguson and what's his face got called up? Bodvarsson.
Yeah, no, but they announced it this afternoon, mate. They announced it this afternoon. Yeah.
There you go.
Does what's his face play out front, Omar? Because if so, get him in the team tomorrow.
Who's that?
I don't know. When you went, what's his face? Yeah. When you went Ferguson and what's his face? Get what's his name in front. Get him up front. We're playing him as a striker tomorrow.
But Farson, I mean? Yeah, he probably do better than what Farson anyway. What's his face? But I think we're going to win 3-1. There you go. Confidence for no reason.
Yeah, 3-1. Yeah,
I think 3-1. I reckon Billy Mitchell gets back in the side. We're going to play Billy Mitchell and Ben Thompson in midfield because why not? And then we're going to have Woods behind as well.
No disrespect.
Hold on a minute. Ben Thompson's been shit.
I'm not saying he's good. I'm not
he
saying
not
he's
up
good.
To this standard.
He gets in our team, though. He gets in our team at the moment.
He doesn't.
He does.
Yeah, but he shouldn't.
He shouldn't.
I would actually have Woods above Ben Thompson. Ben Thompson's
well,
not any good.
This is what I'm trying to say to you. As in, my point for that was, is we have 2 mil boys in the middle with Ryan Woods. They'll both score a goal. And Bodvarsson will score one to throw into your two shouts of Bodvarsson scoring. We'll win 3-1. George Saville gets the one for Middlesbrough in the 90th minute.
Have you been on the toe? I've been on the beer juice. That's what's on it.
Before we end, those of you watching on YouTube, make sure you click the subscribe and then you'll get links whenever we put stuff up. Next Friday night is going to be a slightly different show. We've got no football. We'll probably do another one in the week to just chat football, probably. Early part of the week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. But Friday night show next week is... next Friday is going to be a completely different show. It's going to be a men's mental health special. We still want you all involved in the chat, but obviously rather than chatting about football, we're going to be chatting about men's mental health side. I've got three great big massive experts. We've got 2 Millwall fans joining us and we've got someone from the Football Supporters Association talking about their new campaign, which is called Terrace Talk, which is about when we do go back to football, you know the people standing around you. You can have conversations, check people are okay. It's all around that. It's okay not to be okay. And we've got Robert Hissey, I think it's Hissey, who's the hypnotized guy. He's on Instagram, Facebook, etc. He's done loads of celebrities and all that. It's about retraining your brain, get your brain into a better way of thinking. And we've got Scott, who does the Proper Blokes Club, which is something that he set up on his own where he gets blokes to meet up and go for walks and talks and everything else. So we're going to have three great experts, less talking from us, but it will definitely be more interaction with them, and tips and whatnot. And we're going to be talking about things what affect men. So, you know, why is the suicide rate so high against men? Why do men not bother talking about things regarding mental health as well? But it's just going to be slightly different. It's something new. No one's really done it on a football fan point of view. And we'll just try it. So, yeah, more people who can join us next week will be fantastic. There'll be a lot of promotion this week. So yeah, but if you are watching on YouTube, please just hit the subscribe button. It does you no harm, but it does us all the benefit in the world. It makes us feel that you love us. So, yeah, and also don't forget to press the thumbs up on Facebook or YouTube. How does
if
that?
We, If we ever get a million subscribers, we'll do a five-side team. Mickey in goal, Neil up front with the powerful prowess of being up front. We have to knock a few of his heads. I'll play defence and we'll get two of you in as ringers to help us out on a five-a-side game. So I'm sorry, Neil. That comment did crack me up. Yeah, I think you've covered it all, Mickey. I think there's nothing else needs to be said. Neil, you got anything else you want to add before we go?
Yeah, we did do an Into the Lions Den on Wednesday. I spoke to Mark Beard, spoke to Mark about the FA Youth Cup run and the Arsenal and Chelsea FA Cup ties. So it's just purely about them for about an hour. Some quite good stuff. He says it the way it is. I wouldn't want to be one of his youth players at Brighton. But
it's not a bad interview. I've seen some of it. So yeah, it's
not a
good
bad interview. Cheers for that, Mick.
Well, yeah, I broke my Stella Duck.
I'll give you a B+ for that one. All right.
I broke my Stella Duck. The weather's been nice today, and we've got summer on the horizon. Hopefully, we're out of lockdown really soon, and hopefully, one day we'll have a beer together in person instead of just doing this over the internet. So, I think I've said it all. Mickey said his piece. Neil said his piece. Mills gonna win 3-1 tomorrow, like I said. And we'll be back next week. See you guys later.